Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Back in June, we aired a program titled The Legendary Creationist Dave Nutting on Real Science Radio. Well, that geologist will be speaking in Denver this evening, Friday, November 11th, at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Well, Dave has recently returned to Colorado from a speaking tour. He was at various universities, including the University of Minnesota. And as you guys know, I've recently returned to Colorado from a geology field trip at Glacier National Park that was sponsored by the Geological Society of America. So what a thrill to have Dave Nutting on the show, because I want to ask him about the rock layers. Dave, welcome back to Real Science Radio.
Oh, it's good to be back with you.
Well, you and your wife, Mary Jo, you guys have run the Alpha Omega Institute for many years. You guys are a part of the bedrock of the modern creation movement. So thank you so much for that, Dave. Our sons have gone with you guys on your week-long amazing adventures, expeditions, rafting, mountain climbing. But before we talk about all that later in the show, could you tell me about the rock layers? Because, wow, what a time we had at Glacier National Park. What's with these rock layers we see all over the world?
Rock layers. You know, you're making me hungry now. Because when I think about rock layers, it's amazing. I get hungry. I think about stacks of pancakes and like chocolate pancakes, blueberry pancakes, syrup over the top of it, butter on top, and each of those pancakes represents some kind of a rock layer that extends for great distances. Now, one of the things I'm going to be doing at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meeting tonight, I will be talking about some of the geologic evidences that there really was a flood, that the flood of Noah's day is real. Archaeological evidence, geologic evidence, as well as biblical evidence as well. But that's what we're going to be talking about. One of the things I like to talk about with those rock layers is, and those pancakes, is what would you do if you have a stack of all those pancakes supposedly representing batter poured out over millions and millions of years?
Right.
What do you do when you find one single petrified tree cutting through all of those pancake layers? And you say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm going to have to come up with a different explanation. Otherwise, that tree would have rotted in that period of time.
And
so that's,
Dave,
one of the things I'll be mentioning tonight.
Well, Dave, these are so fascinating, these polystrate fossils.
Yeah.
Because they're found in 1,000 locations around the world.
Sure.
Including like the fossil cliffs of Joggins, Nova Scotia, where they're famous there.
Mm-hmm.
And the evolutionist will try to come up with an ad hoc story about why this tree is standing through strata that supposedly were laid down over tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or even a million years. And of course,
yep,
a tree shouldn't be standing for all that time.
Of course not. It would have rotted.
Yeah, right.
It rotted away by that time. They don't live that long.
And so it turns out there's not only trees that are polystrate, but there's also whale fossils. There's an entire school of jellyfish where they have found at a quarry in Wisconsin in 7 layers of rock that were claimed to have been deposited over a million years. They found specimens, organisms of this whole school of jellyfish throughout all 7 layers.
Isn't that great? Same thing. You wonder, didn't the climate change any time during that time,
yeah,
or the conditions?
Yeah, right. Why did the jellyfish school hang out at that same spot while they were being fossilized?
So, yeah, exactly. Something's weird there, unless you believe in a flood.
So the polystrate fossil argument is strong because it's worldwide. And it's very varied. There's all kinds of polystrate features that show that the layers were laid down rapidly.
That's right. Well, I'm not too sure about the jellyfish in those layers, because all of a sudden I'd rather have my blueberry pancakes instead of jellyfish pancakes. But regardless of that, we also find some of those layers that extend over great sections of the country, all the way from Mexico, clear north of Greenland. Now, that's one giant pancake. And so that indicates something regional or global that is going on. And I'll be bringing out several of those examples tonight as well.
In other words, you're saying that these rock layers are not all local, but sometimes they begin in one region and they continue on through another region of a continent, some of them almost as wide as entire continents.
Exactly. And we're looking at the sandstone layers that go right underneath your feet where you're standing in the studio.
Yeah.
And go all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. They go north of Greenland. They go down into New Mexico. They're found at the bottom of the Grand Canyon virtually. Hmm. And so that's a pretty broad pancake. That one is like the Tapete sandstone. In your area, of course, they have a different name for it, but it's the same pancake. They might call it the Sawatch sandstone, like, for instance, at Glen Eyrie there just outside of Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, when you mentioned the layers that are just beneath our feet, here we also have the Dakota Formation, the Morrison Formation.
Yes, you do.
We've got Dinosaur Ridge just west of Denver here. I made a proposal a while back, just a couple years ago, to National Geographic. They were having a contest. And sure enough, you know, they put it on their website, and it's there right now at nationalgeographic.com if somebody searches for my name. And I suggested that they sponsor a project to extend Google Earth. And I have a computer software background, used to work at Microsoft, so I know a bit about these topics, and that they extend Google Earth so that it could also document the things beneath our feet so we could see how far these strata extend.
And that'd be a great project.
Wouldn't that be awesome? And what fossils are in the different layers of strata, and where are the polystrate fossils? So
good.
If we could get more people to visualize what you are describing, that's bringing actual data to the public, and the data is what refutes Darwinism and the billions of years old Earth.
Exactly. The evidence is on the side of the creationists. That's the exciting part. And another evidence I'll be bringing up relates to the idea that the bottom pancake all of a sudden seems to fluidize and poke through all the rest of the pancakes, extending clear up through the butter. And you say, whoa, how in the world did that happen unless those things were still soft? Well, that negates all of those multiple millions of years that this sandstone injectite or this pipe pokes all the way through. And so it's another evidence that those layers were put down in a very short time. And I'll give you some examples of that this evening.
Yes, and that's in Southeast Denver this evening at 7 o'clock. It's at a church called Calvary Apostolic Church, and the address is 5900 East Yale Avenue. That's in Denver. And so it's sponsored by the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. So, Dave, I'm really looking forward to seeing this and hearing more from you. But if you could, let's keep talking through this issue, because we have listeners in other states who won't be able to be there this evening.
Right.
The evidence from the world we live in that shows that the flood of Noah's day was actual history.
Exactly. I'll be talking about limestone layers that extend over great regions of the country. In fact, one of which will go all the way from Denver, where you're standing, all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, and it doesn't stop there. You find it also at the White Cliffs of Dover over in England, goes clear down into South Africa and Israel and Spain. So again, huge pancakes. Somehow things were different in the past than they are today, and those things fit nicely with the flood of Noah's Day.
Yeah, so the White Cliffs of Dover, when I have studied them, the things that strike you is how pure they can be.
Yep.
And how thick, how deep. I mean, we've all seen the scenes of, you know, a ship sailing toward England, and here are these massive white cliffs with a little bit of vegetation up at the top. And to realize that these were deposited sometimes with almost no impurities, which...
Right, you wonder how that happened, right?
Yeah, how does limestone get formed by the old earth evolutionary mechanism at the bottom of a placid, shallow sea, one grain at a time, over millions of years? You would think that there'd be all kinds of impurities, of course.
Oh, of course there would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And yet, that is something you do not see. Yeah, that's one great evidence right there, that there was something like a massive flood going on at that time. So,
Dave, could I ask you about one other example in a limestone layer? This is at the Grand Canyon. I know that you've been to the Grand Canyon.
Sure.
We've been there about a dozen times and always fascinated. We've rafted once in the canyon. And there are fossils called nautiloids.
Oh, yeah.
At the base of the Grand Canyon, at the red wall limestone layer, at the base, and there appears to be millions of them because every square meter, there's one on average, and about 12% of them are standing up vertically. They're about as big as your arm. And so if the limestone was forming at the rate of an inch every 1,000 years or whatever, these extinct marine invertebrate, there's no way they could have been standing on their heads for all that time.
Yeah, pretty tough buzzards, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's you're looking at the red wall limestone. And it, by the way, that is one of those big pancake layers, too, because you know that limestone is also called the Glorieta limestone in New Mexico. It goes clear up in the Wyoming called the Madison limestone. You see that in Grand Junction called the Madison. It goes clear north of Nevada, the northern part of Nevada. And it's an amazing limestone layer. And so also you want to correlate that clear out to Indiana. It's called the Indiana limestone. And I was taking a group of guys on a short tour of their property at the Glen Eyrie Navigator headquarters.
Dave, that's here in Colorado, right?
Yeah, right here in out of Colorado Springs.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful facility.
Beautiful spot. Yeah. And we had the opportunity to put together a creationist tour of their property for them, for their tour guides to be able to then take people coming in as tourists through that. But the one, they were pointed to the sill, the limestone windowsills, and said this was imported all the way from Indiana. And I thought, well, are you aware that that is a great layer, but it's part of a bigger pancake? And in fact, pointed up to the top of the ridge right there at Glen Eyrie and said, do you realize that's the same limestone up there as you have in Indiana? So all they had to do is climb up the mountain, they would have gotten the same limestone. So
Dave, this is such an important point that if the listener, even though we're on radio, if they could try to visualize this, if you have a regional lake, you have a large lake, and there are deposits settling sediments at the bottom of the lake over time. Okay, that happens, of course. But we're talking about continent-wide strata.
These That's right.
Geologic features that are extraordinary in their particulars. At the Grand Canyon, that's just where it's been exposed, where we could see the layers, but these layers undergird much of North America.
And right under your feet in Denver.
Yeah. And so you need some kind of a geological phenomenon to deposit approximately a mile deep of sedimentary rock, a mile deep. And whatever that phenomenon was, it's not happening today.
No, it's not.
Right.
Things were different in the past than they are now. And in fact, there was a book written by Derek Ager. How's that for a geologist?
Yeah.
Ager. Right. Anyhow, wrote the book, The Nature of the Stratigraphical Record, in which case he did talk about the persistence of the facies. That means these layers going over long distances, and kind of scratching his head. But he's not a creationist.
Right.
So he doesn't even like to be associated with creationists.
Well,
however, some of the stuff he's coming up with is just phenomenal.
Well, what is happening is geology was taken over by uniformitarianism.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been a bit of a revolt now, including by mainstream geologists, who will point out that the only reason that certain features are said to not have happened catastrophically is because we don't prefer that interpretation. Whereas all the evidence,
too much like a flood.
Yeah, all the evidence shows that these layers are the consequences of a catastrophic phenomenon.
Exactly.
It's not preferred. They don't want that to be true. And so this idea of uniformitarianism, that the processes at work today are the same ones that explain what happened in the past, well, we don't see these things happening today.
Right.
There's nothing of this magnitude happening anywhere in the world. And we could see because these strata are all interlocked, they're part of one catastrophic event.
Right. We do see minor things, which shows almost exactly what we see in the fossil record. We see a catastrophic event here, a catastrophic event over here,
right,
separated in time, separated by distance.
Yeah, a volcano.
But the thing is, we see the same type of thing on a broad global scale.
Right.
So
when Mount St. Helens erupted in 19...
That would be a small-scale one.
Yeah.
And now, but when you see the same sort of thing on a much bigger regional depositional plane, you say, whoa, what kind of catastrophe was that?
Yeah, right. And what's interesting is, and this is a topic we've been looking at over the last couple of years, even for, say, plate tectonics or just any old Earth theory, because there's a mile deep of sedimentary rock, once the continents are covered with the first, say, quarter mile of sedimentary rock, well, then you can't keep eroding the continents because they're protected underneath the layers that have been building up. So you need to get all this erosion somehow. And it turns out trying to get it in a gradual uniformitarian way is not possible. All that sediment came from a single catastrophe, and it's what the Bible describes as the flood of Noah's day.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you're trying to say, is that flood is a reality. And that's my topic.
Really looking forward to that. Do you think we could discuss a bit, maybe you won't be talking about these topics, but when you were at the University of Minnesota, I was looking at some of your topics. You were talking about grand design or blind chance. Could you share with us some of that?
Exactly. Some of the evidence has been around for a long time. Things like the woodpecker, the tremendous design of that. Things like the sea anemone being pirated in its missile system by the sea slug, and which then uses this particular missile system for his own. So we look at that possibility. But what really tickles my toes, what really excites me, you might say, is some of the latest stuff that's going on with genomic research. Okay? Things that were given as proof for evolution and over the years. And now, all of a sudden, whoa, these aren't proofs for evolution at all. In fact, they've known it for a long time. Like, for instance, things like similarities and small changes of the different finches, peppered moths. Of course, recently the peppered moth has been shown to be pretty much a hoax. Peppered moths pictures you see all the time on trunks of a tree. Well, guess what? Those moths don't land on the trees. That was exposed by Jonathan Wells in his book, Icons of Evolution. The Journal of Evolutionary Biology picked that up in 2012 and confirmed Jonathan Wells, saying, yes, those moths had to have been glued to the tree
the pictures,
in order to get their famous pictures.
And these are icons, right? These moths.
Oh, these are icons of evolution. These are standard proofs. In fact, somebody from Ireland, we talked to a PhD, taught at major universities all over, taught genetics and evolution. What's the best evidence for evolution, we asked her. She said, by all means, the peppered moth. Well, great. Already we could dismiss that, but with the modern information now, that whole thing was bogus to begin with. So,
Dave, and again, we're speaking with Dave Nutting, geologist from Alpha Omega Institute. And Dave, you guys are located right here in Colorado. And before I ask you something else about those peppered moths, tell us about the events, the outdoor camps that you guys hold. Our kids have gone on these year after year and have loved them.
Okay. We do give a rock and river adventure. That's what your son had been involved with.
A couple of our sons, I should say. Yes.
And their friends, and it's a wonderful time to be able to talk about some of the deeper things. How do you answer this objection that an atheist might throw out at you? How do you answer this one? Here's a good one to give to an atheist, see what he says. And that sort of thing that we do, plus class 2, 3, and 4 rapids, just rapid after rapid, and exciting time. We're going to have another one of those things July 3 through 8 this coming summer.
So that
and
is,
it's
and
a
by
great
the way,
time, great excitement.
And that's on the Arkansas River, is that right?
It's on the Arkansas River, but we also do rock climbing, which isn't too far away, and also hike up into the Sangre de Cristo Mountains and some gorgeous alpine lakes. So that's part of it, too.
Yeah, that's just great.
It's just a week of camping along the river.
Yeah, and, we highly recommend it. And
if somebody wants some more creature comforts, they could take a motor home or take a cabin someplace, and then we meet up with them. So that works.
Yeah, so either way, camping or more comfort. But your website is discovercreation.org.
That's right. And they want to know more about our camps, they can then go on to camps and tours. Hey, one of the tours we're giving, some of the listeners may be interested. The next one coming up is actually March 3 through 12, and that is a creation tour of Costa Rica. That's an exciting trip, and we'll combine that with those who want to after the main tour with an outreach to the University of Costa Rica. And so if they just want to do the tour, great. They will be blessed out of their socks for that one. And so that's a wonderful tour. We also do a family camp. We're opening up the Rockin River to some families this year, too, by the way. But we're also doing a family camp out of Buena Vista at Spring Canyon. And then, of course, the other tour later in the summer next coming year will be Yellowstone National Park, Creationist Tour of Yellowstone.
Oh, that's just awesome. And if anyone's in the Denver area this evening, come on out. There'll be a Q&A session after Dave is done speaking, and then there's refreshments. And I'm sure you'd be able to ask Dave about these trips. Perhaps you and your kids, grandkids, might be able to join one. Dave, back to this moth. The peppered moth is one of the early icons of evolution that we began talking about 25 years ago on the show.
And, I would think so.
Yeah.
And you already knew there was a problem with it back then.
Well, yeah. And because of that, I even remember the scientific name of it. It's Bison betularia.
Well, that's great. I don't try to do the real technical details like that because they go over most people's heads.
Yeah, of course not.
But you don't have to approach this issue on the technical level for most people.
Right.
And I think that's why people do enjoy our conferences that we do, our seminars, our camps, is we hold it down to a level that people like me can understand. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, exactly. All of us. And so, Dave, it turns out that the whole story, even though it's been published in 100 biology textbooks, it was all a fraud. The photos were staged, and there was no evolution from light to dark or dark to light moths. There always were light and dark moths.
That's right.
And even if birds would pick off some, and so if they pick off dark, you have more light. If they pick off light, you have more dark. That's not molecules to man evolution.
No, far cry from it. All it is a variation in gene frequency, which is a variation within a kind.
Yes.
Nothing new. There's no new genetic information. So I'm going to say there's no new genetic stuff, so there's no evolution going on here.
There's no evolution. And so evolutionists, of course, it's a bait and switch. They change the definition. And they say, evolution is any change.
Well, that's true. We all believe in evolution then, don't we?
Yeah, right. So then there's no argument, so they might as well call themselves creationists.
Yeah, right.
Right. But it's a scam. People, it's a bait and switch. They need to show the increase in information and the origin of new complex structures, new metabolic pathways, new, you know, say vision systems or whatever. And they say it happens slowly, evolution, but we're watching a million species every year. So
exactly.
So there's
there
all kinds
change.
Yeah, all kinds of opportunity for evolution to demonstrate how powerful it is, but the best they have is disease, things breaking down, and people having more short kids or tall kids. And that's about it.
That is about it. Most of those, the disease, things breaking down, is a de-evolution, isn't it? It's not going uphill. It is going downhill.
Yeah. So, Dave, we are about out of time. So I'd like to, one last time, give out the address and the time and invite you to give a last comment. But it's this evening, sponsored by the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Come on out and hear geologist Dave Nutting of Alpha Omega Institute. So at 7 o'clock at Calvary Apostolic Church, Southeast Denver, that's 5900 East Yale Avenue. It's right off of I-25 in Yale. Just exit Yale going east about 2 minutes or so, and you'll see the church on the south side of the street. And so, Dave, I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, good. I am too. And one other comment here for you is the fact that people can go to our website at discovercreation.org and get more information on creation versus evolution. You can also see information for our camps, information for our seminars. So if you're going to a church in the area you would like us to speak, whether you're in Colorado or any part of the United States or even the world, we can try to fit that into our schedule to do a presentation in your area as well.
Well, that's
and
nice.
Our phone number, in case you need to contact us, is 970-523-9943.
All right. Dave Nutting, what an honor, Dave, to have you back on Real Science Radio.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Okay, looking forward to seeing Dave this evening, and that's going to be a lot of fun. If you're in the Denver area, please, if you can get here with an hour drive, it'll be worth it. I am looking forward to that. And so Fred Williams and I, of course, we have a number of fascinating shows planned in the schedule, so please continue to tune in. And if you're inclined to, share Real Science Radio with a friend. Suggest that someone subscribe to our podcast. That's at our website, rsr.org. And if you want to help us stay on the air, well, then please check out our store. You just click, go to rsr.org, click on the store. You can order one of our science products or subscribe to our monthly resources, like our Bible studies or topical videos. And then, of course, you can also consider making a donation one time or even an automatic monthly donation. That'll help us so tremendously. We don't have a mega church behind us, not an international ministry, not a foundation. It's just you, me, Fred, and the Lord. So with that, can't wait till next time. This is Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science.
talking about.